Michael J. Epstein, and you're listening to Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford.
Hey everybody, look what I found. Simply the best manservant in town. He's neat and discreet, he couldn't be any satellite. This is the story of my rock and roll butler. Scrubbing away at the dirt, bending and stretching in a little tight skirt. She says I'm much nicer than the Marquis de Sade. This is the story of my little French maid.
WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Okay, we missed last week because of the blizzard. So, what I wanted to do, I played Act 1 of The Three Ghosts. I was planning on playing Act 2, but for the sake of continuity, I'm just going to go ahead and rebroadcast from Act 1. Today is the 21st of March. I guess a couple days ago was the equinox. That's not getting much play, but oh well. Hope you enjoy The Three Ghosts. Original air date was 31st of October, 1937.
I can't stand it, I tell you. Always at 9 o'clock it comes. But if I hear that horrible thing again, I'll go crazy. Oh, this awful house.
But it's quiet, my dear. Way out in the country like this, I can install my laboratory here as soon as I get around to it. As for these strange sounds, well, haunted houses have always fascinated me. I've always wanted to meet a ghost, shake hands with him, invite him to tea.
Stop talking like that. It's serious. Oh, I've tried to stand it for your sake, Arthur, but I don't know how much longer. My heart isn't strong and I... Hear it?
But that's only the wind, isn't it?
No. It always starts like that. You know it does.
Don't Move. Listen.
Arthur, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
A ghost, eh? Well, we'll see. I'll meet him this time. I'll meet him halfway, too.
Stop! Stop!
Come. We'll both meet him. Give me your hand.
No!
Carolyn. Carolyn, it stopped. Can't you hear me? Goodness me. Has the shock killed her? No, her heart still beats. She's only fainted again. Just passed out again.
Lamont, is that big house set on the hill?
May I ask, Margot, the reason for this late call on Carolyn's sneeze?
Oh, I'd like to know what's the matter with the poor woman. I got an awful shock when I saw her in town last week. She looks positively haggard. I never saw such a change come over a person.
Well, married life may not agree with her. She was a spinster for close to 40 years, wasn't she?
I know, but I think she was foolish. Carolyn has nearly $1 million in her own name. She didn't have to marry.
Yes, but... right now, I'm not the shadow. Remember, I'm just your patient chauffeur, darling. Lamont Cranston, in need of a rest from my famous mystery man role. That last adventure took a lot out of me, you know. Well, a marriage problem is hardly...
Seriously, though, nobody knows anything about this man she married. He came into town 6 months ago, met Carolyn in some accidental manner at the county fair, and proceeded to rush her off her feet. I've met him only once, but I don't like his looks.
Something sinister, I gather. Hence the shadow idea. Well, who is he anyway?
Professor Arthur Sneed, I believe he calls himself. He has a small office in town where he's supposed to be working on inventions or something. Well, here we are.
You're usually pretty level-headed, Margot, but don't let your aversion for this man we're seeing be too apparent. Really a place, isn't it?
I don't see any bell. I guess you're supposed to use the knocker. Here he comes.
Well, who it... Oh, it's you, Miss Lane.
Yes. Good evening, Professor Sneed. I hope we aren't too late.
Too late? Too late for what?
Why, I phoned Carolyn that we'd drop in just to say hello.
Well, she didn't tell me. Carolyn isn't feeling well at the moment. I'm sorry. Good night.
Oh, but please, I only want to see her for a moment. That is, unless it's something really serious.
Well, it isn't as serious as she pretends to think it is, but... well, come in.
Thank you. This is my friend, Lamont Cranston.
Come in. I'm very happy to see Mr. Cranston. I've heard a lot about him.
How do you do?
You say Carolyn is ill. She didn't mention it when I...
It came on suddenly. She's been in a nervous condition lately, but it's mostly imaginary. I made her go to bed.
Well, would it be all right if I saw her?
I suppose so. Go on up if you like.
Well, thanks. I'll only be a few minutes, Lamont.
What seems to be the trouble with your wife, Professor Sneed?
Oh, she's run down, I guess. Frightfully nervous. She has some absurd notion that this place is, haunted.
Haunted?
It's only the wind, of course, and the creaking of an old house. Ghosts. She keeps talking about ghosts. And I can't persuade her that there are no such things.
Of course, old houses have a habit of getting themselves haunted, Professor. As for myself, I'm not so sure there aren't such things as ghosts.
But surely, Mr. Cranston...
Oh, not the conventional sort, perhaps, but... I mean people's spirits. Souls, whatever you want to call them. Haunting the places where they've been unhappy.
Very interesting, I'm sure. But a lot of tosh. I put no stock in it.
No? I'm just noticing that rather rare book on the table, Professor. Neuroses of Death.
What?
If you're interested in that, I'm sure you must be interested in ghosts. I understand its morbid analysis of the factors of violent death are quite interesting.
What do you know about it?
Oh, I read all sorts of things, Professor.
Professor Sneed.
Oh, yes, Miss Lane?
Carolyn wants her sedative.
Oh, yes, yes. I'll go up and give it to her. Did you find her comfortable, Miss Lane?
Well, I think Carolyn is seriously ill.
Yes, but more nerves than anything. Excuse me just a moment, won't you?
Lamont, there's something wrong here. I was afraid there was. I don't know what it is, but it's something terrible.
What's the matter with Carolyn?
Well, she hardly recognized me, and she talks like one in a trance, as though she were in the grip of some deadly fear. When I suggested sending the doctor over, she shook her head, but I'm going to just the same. I can't help feeling it's that man, her husband.
Yes, he isn't very pleasant, is he? His skin has an odd pallor. You see it on men who spent some time in prison. There are many little traits of his behavior that interest me as a psychologist. Remarkable man.
But you don't mean...
I don't know. But I think we'll investigate this more or less formally, Margot. I'll visit the professor tomorrow at his office in town. If there are ghosts involved here, perhaps the shadow can bring them to light.
Hello? Yes, Carolyn. Well, don't worry, my dear. I'll leave the office here at 5 and I'll be home before 6. Yes. Yes, I understand. Goodbye, dear. Well, who is it? Is that you, Miss White? Who's opening that door?
Don't get up, Professor. I'll close it after me.
What?
I thought I might find you in.
Who said that? Who are you?
Your conscience speaking, Professor. Or have you a conscience?
I'll show you what I've got.
Don't excite yourself. I'm only a voice. A voice they call... Professor, have you ever heard of the shadow?
The shadow?
Yes. You seem to have heard of me.
What do you want?
I've come to warn you, Sneed.
Warn me? Warn me about what?
I know what you're doing.
What?
And I know how it's going to end. The end is death.
Death?
I have something here I'll toss in your lap. There. Do you hear it?
Why, you... Get out of here, I tell you.
See it? Look. It's half of a playing card. The ace of spades. When you find the other half, that will be the end.
Get out and leave me alone.
All right, Sneed, I'll go, but don't forget. The shadow knows.
Trying to frighten me with his tricks. Oh, coming back, are you? You, Miss White.
There are two gentlemen here to see you, Professor Sneed.
Two gentlemen? Well, I'm not expecting...
I guess you may remember us, Professor Sneed.
Spike.
Your old friends, Spike Collins and Mr. Wilson here.
Yes, yes, of course. Please take those circulars on your desk, Miss White, and mail them at the post office right away.
Yes, sir.
Lock that door, right?
Okay.
And what are you staring at, Sneed? We ain't ghosts.
I thought you two were doing a stretch at Leavenworth.
Yeah. We were. We framed a getaway.
And now we come to see an old pal.
Well, now listen, Spike. I'd help you if I could.
Nuts. But... We've been watching you and we know your game. We ain't got no time to stall. This old dame you married has got plenty of...
I don't know what you're driving at.
Well, you'll know if we squawk about that dame you married out in Idaho that croaked without anybody knowing what was the matter with her.
Cards on the table, Steve. Is this one signed our money over to you?
Yes. She fixed her will in my favor.
Well, what are you doing to get it?
Well, she has a weak heart and...
I know. Playing ghost and scaring her to death, eh? That's too slow, Sneed. I got a better scheme. We break into the house, stage a burglary, see? In a scuffle, the old dame gets shot, dead. It's quick.
No, no. You can't do that.
No, you'll see.
Shadow will return in just a few moments.
Be the first on your block to join the Grand Hour Fan Club. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Grand Hour, Post Office Box 897, Medford, Massachusetts 02155. Membership includes a two-night stay in lovely Acapulco, where the beaches are clear and That's incorrect. Membership includes a direct line to the Grand Hour where suggestions are taken and requests are given.
Again, this is The Three Ghosts, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lame. Original air date was the 31st of October, 1937.
Are you comfortable in that chair, Carolyn?
Yes, thank you, Margaret, dear. And I do appreciate your coming out here and staying with me.
I'm glad to do it. But it's 6 o'clock. Your husband ought to be coming home pretty soon, shouldn't he?
He phoned just before you got here and said he was starting. He seemed very agitated. Oh, he's a strange, unaccountable man sometimes. There are things about him I don't seem to understand.
Yes, I know, dear. He has the car, I suppose?
Yes, he's driving. He's probably on his way now.
I've got to think of something. I know. We leave town.
You're driving rather recklessly, Sneed.
You again.
I'm going to haunt you. Try to forget that I'm here in the rear seat. If it annoys you. No, don't look under the seat.
If I could only see you, get my hands on you, I'd show you how much it annoys me. Shut up.
I'm the voice of your conscience, Sneed. Perhaps you have a conscience. After all...
I could choke that voice down your throat without any trouble to my conscience.
If you only had the power of second sight, you could see me. That's an invaluable gift, Sneed. Being able to see things that other men can't. Some people call it mental telepathy. Some by other names. Remember, I can see the pictures you make in your mind. I told you about that.
You can warn all you like. That's not evidence. Not in court. A lot of wild guesses that don't mean anything.
Well, doesn't it frighten you a little, Sneed? I simply will you not to see me, and you don't. Careful. There's a truck coming down the road. Better sound your horn.
Good Lord, the fool's taking up the whole road.
He's going to hit you. Look out.
It's gone. There wasn't any truck there.
No. I willed you to see it. And you saw it.
No truck at all. Just hypnotism. Gosh, I'm having hallucinations.
But that's the way to dispel hallucinations. Drive straight through them. Be careful. We're near your house. And this old mill road is tricky.
What about it?
Look, Sneed. There's a man in the road ahead of you.
There is, eh? Really?
Why, it looks like one of your two pals that called on you today. I knew he would be here, Sneed.
Really?
You're going to hit him if you don't watch out.
More of your hallucinations. You think that I'll believe you again, don't you? Well, I won't.
Look out!
I hit him.
This time, it was no hallucination, Sneed. He was in front of you.
I'll take one.
Hey, Archer.
What's it all about, Lamar? Found dead on Old Mill Road. But that's out for the Sneed case.
Yes, yes, I believe it is. Notorious criminal struck by automobile and killed. He was certainly struck by an automobile.
I wonder if Sneed knew anything about it. He acted very strange when he got home last night.
Strange? What way?
Well, he was pale and shaky, and he hardly seemed to know I was there. He told Carolyn that he'd had a message from out of town, and they'd have to pack and leave.
Well, did he say when?
Well, they thought they could get their trunks and things ready by this afternoon sometime. You're not going to let Carolyn go with him, Lamont?
Not if I can help it. Let's see. A little after 9, I imagine Commissioner Weston is rather startled by the morning's news. I think I'll have a word with Commissioner Weston.
Commissioner Weston, they're sending Carlin's body into the morgue.
You went out there this morning and checked all details, Captain?
Yes, sir, I did. And whoever hit him certainly smashed him up good. His face was all out of shape and couldn't recognize him. Hope he found these in his pocket.
Now, let's see. A letter from his girl out west, looks like. Insurance policy. Library card of Leavenworth Penitentiary.
And this ring, sir, that Collins always wore, with the figure 8 on it.
Oh, yes. Well, it's a good job done, whoever did it. Tag that stuff and file it.
Yes, sir.
Let me know when the wagon gets here.
Yes, sir.
Police Department. Commissioner Weston speaking.
Good morning, Commissioner. This is your good friend, the Shadow.
Oh, yeah? Well, what the blazes do you want?
To be of a little assistance, as usual.
Yes, I see. I'm getting tired of this rigmarole, though heaven knows things happen when you phone. And what's the assistance today?
Why didn't you investigate the ghost that haunts Sneed House, Commissioner, on the Old Mill Road?
Well, you missed up on that one, Mr. Shadow. I don't put much stock in ghosts. But we went out there and checked up. Searched the house. There's no evidence.
No. Go again today, Commissioner. And this time, I think you'll get your evidence.
That the last trunk, Arthur?
Yes. The expressman won't be here until 4. Another hour yet. Why don't you go up and lie down a while, Caroline, hmm?
Yes, I will. Try to sleep a little now that it's daylight.
You told the milkman we wanted to pay him.
He's coming back before we leave.
Good. Well, that must be him now at the back door. Get back. Get back.
What's the matter, Sneed? Think you're seeing a ghost?
Stop. Don't come near me.
That's Snap out of it, will you? This is me, Spike Collins.
You? Alive?
It wasn't me you hit with your car last night on that back road. Well, I guess you wish it had been, huh?
Who was it then?
It was Rat Wilson. The fool got half pickled trying to get up his nerve for the job. Staggered on the road before I could stop him, and wham. It was all over.
Wilson, eh?
So there was my chance, see? Him and me about the same size, his face and hands all smashed flat. I put my stuff in his pockets, my ring and what was left of his finger. There I was, dead. And all that time you was giving me the double cross. Maybe I am a ghost, but I can still deal with you, Sneed.
Who is it, Arthur?
Just a minute, Carolyn.
Now listen, Spike. There's only one way to see this thing through. You and I have got to stick together. The Shadow is after us both. We've got to get out together, away from this Shadow.
Don't kid me anymore about the Shadow. You see this cat? I'm here on business and I'm going through with it. Put the old lady out of her misery.
Good Lord.
What's the matter?
There. On the table.
Nothing but a torn playing card. The ace of spades. Or half of it.
You've got to stop it, Spike. You've got to stop.
Arthur, what's the matter? Who's this man?
Carolyn. This is a friend of mine.
A friend?
Sure, a friend.
But I don't understand. The pistol,
Yeah, that's my way of doing business, lady. Your husband does it different. He's been scaring you to death, ain't he? Making you think the place was haunted. You know how he always does it?
Stop it, Spike.
He used to be an electrician, see? He rigs up a sort of electric sound box with a remote control switch. He usually puts the switch over here by the door. Yeah, there it is.
What's it all about, Arthur?
The ace of spades. The end. Death.
When he turns the switch, you hear the ghost dance. All you have to do is turn this knob. That's the way it works, lady.
But I hear it. Arthur, I hear it.
Turn that thing off, you idiot. What? I haven't turned it on. You haven't. Then what's making those sounds?
I am.
What is that? It's him. He's come. A shadow.
I am coming up these cellar stairs. I will enter and stand beside you.
Where is he? Stand back or I'll shoot.
When I enter, I will touch one of you on the shoulder.
Stop him! Stop him!
And that one will die.
Open over there!
Mr. Cops, come here, Sneed. It's a plant. You call in the cops.
No, don't shoot, Spike.
The jig is up. You can have the bullet I was going to give your wife, you double-crossing skunk.
Oh, you killed him.
Come on, here we are. Go through that side room, boys. Okay. Stick him up.
Go.
I've got him. Now stand still or I'll break your arm. Now, hand over that gat.
All right. I'm through. You win.
Spike Collins.
Spike Collins?
Well, I thought he was... He's a fool. Well, I thought you... Say, what is this? Who was that guy that got killed over here last night? Come clean, Collins.
Whoever it was, I didn't do it.
Who's that? Where are you?
Don't be alarmed. I am here behind you. In the shadow.
Oh. So you're here, Shadow, eh? Maybe you know who got killed here last night.
The man killed last night, Commissioner, is a ghost.
Oh, yeah?
There are now two ghosts in this little adventure. Mr. Collins will probably make the third. You really should believe in ghosts now, Commissioner. And in shadows.
And
That was The Three Ghosts. Original air date was the 31st of October, 1937, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow, and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane. Completes the first billing of the show. This, the next one, as standard fare here on the Grand Hour, we're going to play a six-shooter episode. You're listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio. Before I start in on the episode of the six-shooter, there's a voice character in here who should be recognizable to most people. I don't know if it'll just jump out and grab you, but I can give you a hint. He's a famous Hanna-Barbera character. So here we go with the second portion of the Grand Hour. Here in a few seconds. Thanks.
The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
How's that, Alf? Short enough for you? I asked you if it was short enough for you.
Well, give me the mirror so I can take a look.
There you are. Well?
Don't look to me like you cut it at all.
Oh, now, Alf.
No, it's still there, ain't it?
Experiencing some technical difficulties here. So just with the spring break schedule, I don't know if Peanut Butter and Jams are going to be on following the Grand Hour, but or if a new show, Radio Morning, I believe a new DJ was trained for that. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulties. Always seems to be something. I guess we're supposed to get some snow today. Laster, I heard, I don't know, 8 to 12 inches, 8 to 14 inches. Who knows? But again, you're listening to the Grand Hour with technically difficulty Arthur. There you go.
James Stewart as the six-shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the six-shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
The snow was beginning to melt by the time I reached Dawson. You could hear it dripping from the eaves, hitting the boardwalk along the main street. I'd figured on being in town a couple of days earlier, but that storm sort of threw me off schedule. Not that I had to be there any particular day, but my winter job at Dave Engelman's ranch would be waiting for me whenever I showed up. But the sooner I got to Dave's, the sooner we could start moving his herd down to lower ground. Oh, Scott. Oh, boy. Well, it's almost noon, so I tied Scar to the hitching rail in front of Brick Vining's gambling hall and went hunting a place to eat. The town was sort of showing a little wear and tear. Of course, Dawson never had been a rich place, and I guess the drought last summer hadn't helped much. Folks just didn't have the money for improving the real estate, that's all. Except the jail. Huh. Gee, for a minute I couldn't believe my eyes. Well, it was all fixed up. Fresh green paint on the outside, new wooden steps leading up to the front door. Real honest-to-goodness bars in the cell windows. It sure was a different jail, all right. But the face grinning out at me from behind those cast-iron bars, well, that face hadn't changed a bit since the last time I was in Dawson.
Howdy, Brett.
Hello, Mel.
I heard you was coming to town. Dave Engelman said you signed up with him.
Yeah, that's right. You in for something, Mel?
Yes. Oh, there's a little ruckus over at Brick Vining's place last night. Some folks said I started it.
Uh-huh.
Reckon they're right.
You do. Seems to me like you were in jail when I left Dawson a couple of years back, isn't it?
Was it Saturday night or Sunday morning?
Could have been. I don't remember exactly.
Well, if it was a Saturday night or Sunday morning, like as not, I was here. I ain't missed being thrown in more than two Saturday nights since they first built the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you're living in style. Hi, George, this jail looks a lot fancier than it used to be.
Yes, yeah. New sheriff fixed it all up.
New sheriff, huh?
Sure. Oh, you heard about Saul Gordon being killed, didn't you?
No. No, well, what happened?
Oh, well, it happened, maybe a couple of months ago. And, well, come on inside and have a look around while I tell you about it.
Well, I don't know about that, Milch. You know, maybe the new sheriff wouldn't care about it.
Oh, Sheriff Billy wouldn't mind. He'd like you to pay us a visit. Now, come on, Brett. The front door's unlocked.
Well, all right.
Well, that's some desk, ain't it? Solid mahogany. He had it shipped here, all the way from Frisco.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. He paid for it out of his own pocket, too, Billy did. Town couldn't afford a desk like that.
Oh, no. I don't suppose it could. Well, what about Saul? What happened to him?
Well, like I said, it was around 2 months ago. The Baxter brothers had been seen heading this way from White Eagle, and when Sheriff Gordon heard about it, he got some men together and started looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Young Billy hadn't been in town very long. He wasn't obliged to join the posse. But he went anyway. Billy Riddle. That's his name, Britt.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a very big posse, and when one of them Baxters shot the sheriff, well, that'd have been the end of it. If Billy hadn't have took charge. Why, he managed to get off a couple of shots, and the next thing you know, both of them Baxter boys surrendered. So when Billy came back to town, well, nobody else was very anxious for the job of sheriff, so he seemed to be the logical man for it. You know, the way he handled the posse and all.
Sure,
of course,
sure.
Some of the folks thought he was a little young for the job. Well, can't be more than 22 or 23. But he's got a good, firm grip on himself.
He does.
Oh, he ought to be showing up about now. He always turns me loose in time for my Sunday dinner. Real nice young fella. You like him? Southern boy.
Oh?
Yeah, I don't know why he came out west exactly. Good thing for the town he did, though. Oh, howdy, Sheriff, howdy. Oh, we were just talking about you. This here is Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett?
Oh, that's right. You've heard of him, ain't you? He's six-shooter.
Oh, sure. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Ponsett.
Howdy, Sheriff. I just strolling by and Milt asked me to come inside.
Oh, glad you did. Well, Milt, I reckon you'd like to be on your way.
Oh, I don't know, Sheriff. This jail's getting to be a darn sight more comfortable than my cabin. What with all your improvements?
Well, if you want to stay...
One second thought. I'd better be getting home now. Thanks for the hospitality anyway.
Hey, don't mention it.
You heading my direction, Brad?
Well, I'd...
If you don't mind, Mr. Ponsett, I'd like to talk to you. just for a couple of minutes.
Sure, sure.
Well, so long, then. See you next Saturday, Sheriff.
Sure, sure.
Goodbye, Mel.
I trust I'm not keeping you from anything, sir.
No, no. No, I was just thinking about eating a little dinner, maybe, if there's a cafe open.
Old Cotton serves a pretty good meal on Sunday.
That's
Cotton
all?
Cotton White, yeah. His place is right around the corner.
Fine, fine. Well, I'll give that a try. You wouldn't care to join me, would you? We could talk while we're eating. Better if you don't have any other plans.
No, thanks, Mr. Ponson. I'd like to join you. You see, I'd been hoping you'd turn up in Dawson.
By George, I'd sure want a nice tender pot roast, wouldn't I? Oh, well, I ate too much, George.
Huh?
My belt's cutting into me like a cinch here.
Wait, like...
What was it you had in your mind, Billy?
My name's Riddle, Mr. Parson. Bill Riddle.
Uh-huh, yeah, Bill told me.
The name doesn't mean anything to you?
No, not offhand.
I heard a lot about you, Mr. Ponson, since I came to Dawson. Folks say you've traveled a lot around this part of the country. Covered it all from one end to the other.
Well, I've done my share of moving about.
What I wanted to know was if you ever ran into anybody else with the same last name as me.
Riddle?
Blake Riddle, that's the full name.
Relative?
My father.
Oh.
It's not a very common name. If you heard it, you'd be likely to remember it.
Yes, yes.
Here's your pie, Chef. But what's that plate, though?
It's hot. Thanks, God.
No, I don't think I ever heard that name before.
Well, I wanted to be sure.
Was your father in these parts?
I don't know. I know he was once. Not here in Dawson, but somewhere in this territory.
Mm-hmm. You haven't heard from him lately?
No, I've never heard from him.
Oh?
Fact of the matter is, I've never even seen him. You see, he brought my mother out west here before I was born. Wasn't the kind of life she'd been used to. She was born and raised in the South. Family had a plantation.
I see.
Those days, the frontier must have been pretty wild. Anyway, when it came time for me to be born, she went back home.
And your father didn't go with her?
No.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they had a quarrel. Maybe he didn't like her leaving him. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Later on, she told me he was dead. But I found out that wasn't true. At least it wasn't true when she told me.
Oh? Uh-huh.
Anyhow, Mother died last year. In her things was a letter from Dad. It had been mailed from Denver about 15 years ago. Said he was going to buy a ranch somewhere around Phoenix. He asked Mother to bring me along and meet him. From the way it was written, you could kind of tell he didn't expect her to come.
Yeah. Well, some folks don't bear up very well when they're transplanted, you know. They take root in one place, and there's no point in trying to move.
Yeah, I reckon they just weren't suited. But now, well, I thought maybe if Dad was still alive, I thought maybe he and I... Tell you the truth, Mr. Ponson, I guess I'm his son, even though I never saw him. More his than Mother's.
I see.
And ever since I can remember, I wanted to come west, even before I knew about him. And I've been happy out here, too, happier than I've ever been in my life. Of course, I didn't figure on being sheriff. That was just an accident.
Well, be that as it may, you're the sheriff, and Milt says you're a darn good one, so you at least got one satisfied customer.
I'm going to try, Mr. Ponson. I'm going to try hard. I just wish that Dad... Well, if you should ever run into him, why...
Sure. What the Sam Hill is that?
Sounds like somebody's getting frisky.
There he goes, Sheriff. Over by the mercantile.
Yeah.
Oh, he ain't doing no harm. He's just shooting up in the air that way.
He ain't doing no good either.
Looks like he's running out of lead. Yes. There he goes. Into Brick Vining's place.
And put the dinners on my bill, Cotton. I'll pay you for them later.
Sure, Sheriff.
Hold up a minute, Billy.
Yeah?
Hey, didn't you recognize that fellow, the one's doing the shooting?
What? No. Why should I?
Well, his name is Ben Reed.
Reed? You sure, Mr. Ponson?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I I thought he was in jail over at Fort Lyon. I thought the marshal arrested him last month.
Well, Ben Reed's been in a lot of jails, but he always sort of manages to break out somehow, you know.
He won't break out of mine.
You gonna arrest him, Sheriff?
He's an outlaw, ain't he?
Why, sure, but he's mighty fast with a gun. At least so I hear. Hey, ain't that right, Miss Ponsett?
Yeah, that's what folks say.
Well, I guess there's only one way to find out.
Sheriff Billy was young, all right, but he didn't walk young, and he didn't swagger. He just moved ahead like a man who knew where he was going. Of course, Ben, a few years older, wouldn't have done him any harm, especially if he was going to tangle with Ben Reed, and, well, there didn't seem to be any reason for me to miss all the excitement, so I started off in the direction of the gambling hall. If young Bill didn't know what he was doing, well, he'd soon find out. Ben Reed was sitting at a poker table dealing the cards. He didn't even look up when Bill came over and stood beside him. But Ben knew somebody was there, and he knew whoever it was wearing a star. He laid the deck of cards on the table, and he rested his left hand on his knee. Was I sure hope Billy knew that Ben was left-handed.
Your name's Reed. Ben Reed.
Are you talking to me?
I asked if you're Ben Reed.
Yeah, I'm Reed.
You broke out of jail over at Fort Lyon.
Don't look like I'm still there, does it, sonny?
And you're going back.
Oh.
You're under arrest.
I heard this town got themselves a new sheriff. Some youngster wasn't even dry behind the ears.
Get on your feet.
Sure. You know, most fellas your age have a lot to live for. They'd be sort of careful who they started ordering around, but maybe you're different.
Maybe I am.
What's your name, kid? Just for the record, I always like to know a man's name before there's any trouble.
Bill Riddle. Sheriff. Bill Riddle. Give me a gun, Reed. I said, give me a gun.
For a couple of minutes, they stood there, not moving, staring at each other. And Ben Reed's left hand slid down his hip a couple of inches. And in spite of myself, I found my own hand going for my holster. And then Ben's fingers stopped. And I couldn't believe my eyes. He unbuckled his gun belt and let it drop on the floor. Well, I guess the only person in that room who wasn't surprised was Billy. He just picked up those guns. He nodded to the door. Ben didn't even look back. He marched right out into the street and Billy behind him. There was a minute or so before it sank in just what had happened. Sheriff Billy Riddle had arrested Ben Reed without even drawing his gun.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule zero, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety.
Medford. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Ah.
About 2 o'clock that Sunday afternoon, the snow started coming down again. Big, real big heavy snow. So I left Scar at the livery stable and got myself a room at Mrs. Kramer's boarding house. Yeah, I sure didn't like the idea of going out for supper, but Mrs. Kramer said that she didn't fix food on Sunday nights. She was lead soprano in the church choir, and rain or snow, she had to be there for the evening service. There wasn't anybody else who could carry the melody. So I put on just about all the clothes I had with me and headed for Cotton White's Cafe.
Howdy, Mr. Bonson. Oh, sure is coming down, ain't it?
Yeah.
We don't usually get a big snow like this before January or maybe February. Mm. It seems like the weather's changing. I wonder what's causing it.
I don't know, Cotton. Don't know. Ah, I was afraid you might be closed.
No, I would be, except for these lunches I'm packing.
Hmm?
Yeah, the sheriff caught me just as I was locking the door.
Oh?
The idea of leaving for Fort Lyon in a blizzard like this.
Fort Lyon?
That's where he says he's gone.
Well, what for?
He wants to turn Ben Reed over to the marshal there. He sure is in a big hurry to get rid of him for some reason. This don't make sense.
Hmm.
Like as not, they'll never make it to Lyon, any one of them. But Billy says they're starting tonight, so... Yeah. Ah, well, no, that does it. Oh, I'll just run these over to jail. You can pour yourself a cup of coffee, Mr. Ponson. I'll be right back.
Well, why not let me take them over for you, Carter? It says I'm all bundled up and everything.
Oh, of course not, Mr.
Ponson. No trouble. Besides, I'd kind of like to have a talk with Bill before he leaves town.
Well, if you're sure.
And don't stay open for me. I'll just get a cup of coffee for Mrs. Creamy. That's all I wanted anyway. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Ponson.
Oh, thanks for bringing them over, Mr. Ponson. Good night.
Hey, Billy, you serious about striking out for Fort Lyon tonight?
Yeah.
Well, it looks to me like he's as safe here as he would be anywhere else.
Guess he don't appreciate my company.
That's right. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the sheriff.
Yeah.
You know, Fort Lyon's a 2-day ride in good weather. You know, no telling how long it'll take you to get in a storm like this.
Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, has something happened, Billy?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I guess it's none of my business, whatever it is.
No, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Mr. Ponson. What's the use? Somebody will find out sooner or later. I'm not taking him to Fort Lyon. As soon as we get out of town, I'm going to turn him loose.
What?
And I'm not coming back to Dawson. I'm going home to Georgia, where I belong.
Well, I suppose you've got your reasons.
I told you. I only came out here to find my father. And I told you this was my lucky day. I found him. Of course, he wasn't quite what I expected. He's a thief, an outlaw, and a killer.
You mean Reed?
You knew it too, didn't you?
No. No, I didn't know anything of the kind.
Well, you must have guessed it then. When he let me take him without lifting a finger to stop me, he said yourself he was fast with a gun.
Well, that's what I heard. But the fact a man lets another man arrest him, well, that doesn't necessarily prove kinship.
I got the proof right here.
What? Well, that's a mighty pretty locket.
Open it up.
Huh?
Go on, open it. That's my mother's picture when she was a girl. It's copied from a picture that hangs in our parlor back home. And he was carrying it fastened to his gun belt.
That's so, Reed?
His name isn't Reed. It's Blake Riddle.
He's loco, Ponson. Ask anybody. I'm Ben Reed. I always have been.
You're a fool to lie about it. If you weren't Blake Riddle, you'd be going to prison.
I've been in prison before.
And because you think he's your father, you're going to turn him loose. Is that it, Billy?
I don't care about him or anything that happens to him. But she loved him once. At least she must have thought she did.
And afterwards, you're getting out of town, huh?
I don't reckon Dawson would have much use for a sheriff who was Ben Reed's kid.
Well, they wouldn't have to know.
I'd know it. I'd always know it. Even if they didn't.
Well, the town was mighty proud of you, Billy.
Well, at least I won't be the first lawman who couldn't hang on to Ben Reed.
No, that's true enough. It just seems to me you're acting on mighty flimsy evidence. It seems to me there's a lot of ways a man could get a hold of a locket like this one. It wouldn't necessarily follow that he really belongs to him. Of course, if Reed says it's his...
I ain't said that. He never asked me.
I didn't have to ask.
Well, what about it, Reed? Where'd you get it?
I had it so long I almost forgot.
Yeah.
But it all come back to me when you was making such a fuss. Never thought a piece of junk like that would cause so much stir.
Go on.
I found it. It must be about 15 years ago now, maybe more. I was down around Phoenix, a little town named Court City. There were some other boys with me, and folks sort of got the idea we'd held up the bank, come looking for us with a posse. Well, there was a couple hours of shooting, and afterwards the posse went back without us. Those that were still alive, that is.
What's all this got to do with...
Well, I'm finished, Bill.
We went out to look at the bodies, you know, just to make sure the fellas were dead. One of them was carrying that locket, so I...
Are you trying to say you killed my father?
I don't know who killed him, not for certain. We was all shooting. I suppose it could have been me.
You're lying.
Well, why should he lie?
If it's the truth, why did he keep that locket? Wasn't worth anything. Didn't have any value.
Well,
why'd he keep it?
I'll tell you, kid. When I opened it up and looked at it, I said to myself, now, she's pretty nice looking. So I thought, seeing as how the fellow who was carrying the locket was sort of out of action, and maybe someday I might run into the woman in person having her picture, it sort of give me an excuse.
You
to...
filthy rat! I'll kill you with my bare hands.
Bella, get hold of yourself.
How could I ever have thought that a dirty, rotten killer would be my own? I must have been crazy, plumb crazy.
You sure were. The idea of a kid of mine turning out to be a sheriff.
It took Billy Riddle a little while to simmer down. When he finally did, he changed his mind about going to Fort Lyon. He decided to wait until the storm had died down, until he was sure of delivering the prisoner. Reed didn't say anything, not another word. Not until Bill went out back to get some wood for the pot-bellied stove.
Why are you looking at me like that, Fonson? You didn't believe me, did you?
Not entirely, Reed. No, not entirely.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, I was in Court City when you robbed that bank, and it wasn't 15 years ago. It was about 4 years ago. And the posse that went out after you, well, they didn't even get close to you. They came back, and all of them hadn't fired a shot.
Well...
And there was another, I think you'd call it, discrepancy.
What's that?
I knew all those boys in that posse, and none of them was named Riddle.
Well, one thing was true enough. The important thing.
Oh?
His father is dead. And I killed him.
What?
20 years ago, when his mother went off and left me, when she wouldn't come back, when she wouldn't even answer my letters, that's when I killed the man his father had been. I didn't think I had anything to live for. I didn't think I'd ever see Billy. I didn't think I'd ever see him as long as I lived. That's when I turned outlaw and became Ben Reed. That's when I killed Blake Riddle.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot more of Blake Riddle here tonight than there is of Ben Reed. At least that's the way...